You're invited to the largest local government event in the world. The ICMA Annual Conference features over 150 sessions and events presented by local government management experts, as well as keynotes and featured speakers who will discuss a range of insightful, historical, and social cultural issues. You'll come away from this event with an abundance of educational, information sharing, and networking tools to help you manage your community in today's complex environment. Learn more and register today at icma.org/conference. Welcome to Making a Difference, the latest season of podcasts from ICMA's Local Gov Life. I'm your host, Erica White. In this series, we'll talk with three local government professionals, an elected official, and a community stakeholder about the way professional management makes a difference in a community's quality of life. In this episode, ICMA's Michelle Frisbee talks with Carl Valente, town manager of Lexington, Massachusetts. Carl has spent the last four decades serving local and state government throughout the Commonwealth of Massachusetts. He even did a five-year stint as financial management director of ICMA.
Carl, how are you today?
Well, thanks, Michelle. It's nice to be here.
We're so glad you could join us. Carl, you've worked as a professional local government manager for nearly 35 years. What inspired you to pursue a career in local government?
Well, when I first was interested in this coming out of college, I went to visit the town manager in the town I grew up in to talk to him about local government. I didn't know it at the time, but he was one of those legends among managers. But he spent a good hour and a half with me talking to me about local government. And I still remember it to this day. There were sort of three things that convinced me that this was something I'd be interested in. One, it was really something that spoke to what President Kennedy had talked about in terms of a call to public service for individuals. Secondly, when he talked about local government, he talked about the management principles and how important those principles were in running a local organization. And third, it was having some exposure to the policy aspect of government, which was part of my undergraduate career as a political science major.
What, in your opinion, explains your longevity in this field?
One is you need to be technically proficient in this work, and the work changes so quickly that it's important to keep up with those changes and maintain a professional development plan every year, whether, you know, it was my first year or my 34th year. Second, the importance of having stakeholder engagement. The public, particularly at the local government level, where they feel so close to government, wants to be engaged. You have to really work hard at stakeholder engagement to connect with your residents. And lastly, and this may sound a little unusual, but I have to remind myself that this is not my community. So I'm the town manager here, but this community belongs to the residents, to the elected officials, and what's important to them is what's important. And those are what I need to carry out that policy direction, not what's important to me.
We hear a lot about the uniqueness of New England local government. How does representative town meeting work in New England?
It's really fun and interesting, and we're actually in the middle of our town meeting season as we speak. Lexington has about 200 town meeting members, and they all have something to say about how government works. But at the end of the day, 80% of how our government works is no different than in any other community in the United States. We have a board that establishes policy. We have the professional staff that carries out that policy. But in three areas, town meeting gets involved. So they have to approve any spending. So they approve the operating budget. They approve our capital budget. Secondly, they have to approve any local ordinances or what we call bylaws. Third, any zoning-related changes in the community because we have local control over zoning. One of the real differences when I talk to my colleagues in other parts of the country is partisan politics in a town meeting form of government is very modest. So that's really nice to not have that challenge to deal with.
Tell us a little bit about the town of Lexington and the kind of challenges a town manager or administrator faces in New England.
Because the town meeting structure of government is pretty common in New England, people in New England expect to be able to directly engage with their town government. It's a highly engaged community. Secondly, particularly in Lexington, which is just outside of Boston and near many institutions of higher learning, among the colleges and university, there's a lot of academic types who live or work in Lexington. So everybody is smarter than me. That's a good thing. There's a tremendous amount of expertise in this community. So I have to keep up with that. And that's no easy challenge.
What is the relationship between you as town manager and your elected officials?
You know, Michelle, when I interviewed in Lexington about 14 years ago, the board asked me that same question. What's our relationship going to be between you as town manager and us as the elected board? And so I'm going to give you the same answer I gave back then. We are flip sides of the same coin. The coin is the town of Lexington, and on one side are our elected officials and our boards and committee who establish policy direction. And on the other side of that coin is the professional staff who carry out that policy direction.
Lexington is celebrated as the site of the first shots of the American Revolutionary War in the Battle of Lexington on April 19, 1775. You spoke a little bit about this to us earlier. What impact has this notoriety had on your community?
Well, this was probably one of the biggest changes for me coming into Lexington from other local governments I worked in. Yes, Lexington is where that first official resistance to the British happened. So to this day, groups around the country look to Lexington as where they want to have their voice heard in terms of responding to what's going on in government, particularly at the federal government level. So they come here, and we have groups, and they can be right-wing groups or left-wing groups, who come here and want to make their voices heard. So we become really good at this, having protest groups in our community, welcoming them and sort of managing that while you're just managing the everyday ins and outs of town government.
Lexington is also noted for being the sixth wealthiest small community in the United States. What are some of the challenges inherent to working in a community like that?
You regularly hear the voices of your wealthy residents. You don't as loudly hear the voices of those who don't have those same financial resources. And we have to remember those voices. They're there. And they may not be as loud, but they are just as important as the voices of our wealthy residents. And we have to work hard at remembering that this is everybody's community, regardless of what your place is in life.
I understand that Lexington has undergone a significant amount of demographic change in the past few years. How has the community dealt with this change?
We are now about a 30% minority community. So the first thing I had to recognize is that I don't know what I don't know. My grandfather came to this country from Italy and immigrated. I remember talking to him a lot about what that was like to leave his country when he was in his late teens and come to the United States. And I thought, boy, I could never do that. I could never come to a strange country, leave my family behind and do that. Well, many of our residents are first generation American. We've worked really hard at sort of figuring out what does that mean for our community? How do we give them a voice in their town government? And it's been incredibly rewarding to work on that.
What, as town manager, do you see as some of the biggest challenges facing your community in the next 2 to 5 years?
Well, first, continue on that theme, our changing demographics and the cultural diversity of our community. One of the things we've learned as we've peeled the layer on that onion is that even in a what would be considered, you know, Lexington considers themselves to be fairly a liberal community, there are unconscious biases in this community. People recognize that and want to work to address those biases. So that's one of our challenges. And the second is, in terms of our demographics, we are becoming a community of older residents and younger residents, sort of growing at both ends of the spectrum, but less so in sort of the middle group. And that has lots of implications for us in terms of service levels. So we have a growing school age population on one end of the spectrum and a growing number of baby boomers who are now retiring who want to stay active and engaged in the community. And so we're working on that as well.
How has your local government management experience shaped who you are as a leader today?
Well, Michelle, I don't know if you remember this, but many years ago when you talked about ICMA and people would say, well, what does ICMA stand for? And our little inside joke was, it stands for I can manage anything. Well, in fact, as professional managers, that's what the expectation is, that we will be problem solvers. We'll figure out a way of solving problems. And sometimes it's solving an existing problem. And sometimes it's avoiding problems from happening in the first place. But that's what I've really come to learn, is to demonstrate to our residents and to our elected officials and to our board and committee members that we can help them solve problems.
Evidence indicates that cities, towns, and counties that employ a professional local government manager such as yourself are more efficient and effective. What, in your opinion, is the critical difference that professional management contributes to the smooth operation of a local government?
I see three areas. One is, with professional management, you're in it for the long term. The recommendations we make to our elected boards and to our community are ones that we have to feel are sustainable solutions, not a solution that will just work for a year or 2 years, because Lexington's going to be here for a long time. The second is, government in general and local government has become increasingly complex. And with professional management, we hire and retain highly qualified staff to deal with that complexity. And again, the staff are in it for the long term. And so they know that the decisions they make today, they're going to have to live with for a long time. And the third is something that ICMA has talked about for many years, is transparency in the way we operate. Transparency in how we hire staff, transparency in how we make our recommendations to our boards and committees, transparency in how we carry out our day-to-day operations. When we make a mistake, we tell everybody about it. It's public. We have to own up to it. So it's something that I feel very proud about in terms of professional management and how we conduct ourselves.
Can you give me one or two specific examples of how professional local government management has made a difference in Lexington?
As we know, we as a country went through a very difficult recession in the 2008-2012 time period. Probably in my career, and I've gone through a number of recessions, this was the most difficult of all of them. We talked about it as, was this going to be the new normal? We were able to manage our way through that recession with a minimal impact on the services that we provided to our citizens. It wasn't by luck. It was by hard work. It was by our team of professional staff working with our elected officials and our boards and committees to actually figure out a plan on how we were going to work through this recession. And so that would be one example. And then something a little bit more specific to Lexington and our situation, we spend about $10 to $12 million every year in capital, our sort of normal capital plan. But we've had a very aggressive capital program the last 5 years for a variety of reasons. About $175 million capital program that we had to implement. We were able to, again, come up with a plan that we recommended to our board on how to implement that very aggressive and very expensive capital plan with a very modest impact on our taxpayers. And it worked. We're in the fourth year of that five-year plan. We've been able to adhere to the plan without creating sticker shock on our residential taxpayers.
Carl, in your opinion, what are some of the most important challenges facing local governments these days?
It's becoming more and more challenging to recruit and fill our positions. The baby boomers are retiring in large numbers. And we're not seeing enough people coming out of our schools to fill those positions, our schools of public administration. The second is dealing with aging infrastructure in New England. and the high cost of replacing that aging infrastructure. And I referred to that a little bit earlier with your question about some of the challenges that we faced here in Lexington. And the third change has been, we no longer are not looking at the federal government as a partner anymore. For whatever reasons, the federal government is struggling with their own issues and what their own role is. And so our residents are now looking to our local government and to our state government to be the ones that will try to solve the problems that we used to look to the federal government to solve. It can be as big as some of the infrastructure issues or the opioid crisis or dealing with the change in who's going to provide for our most vulnerable population. We seem to have said we can't expect the federal government to fill that role. So now as local officials, we're being asked to help address those problems.
Very well said. You mentioned that recruitment for key local government positions is more difficult now than it has been in the past. What would you say to those who are looking at local government management as a possible career?
We, as a profession, have not done a good job of talking about a career in local government. So I try to talk a lot about what local government is, in that we hire engineers, we hire social workers, we hire accountants, all the things that people think about in the private sector. We do that in local government. But then there's a big difference about local government. You make a difference in people's lives. And there are not many professions that can say that. And I try to impress that in folks that I come across who are thinking about careers in general, and particularly a career in local government.
I've got one final question for you, Carl. If there was one thing you could say to your residents about the importance of public service and professional local government management, what would that one thing be?
Try it. I would say of the folks that I've worked with over my career who have gotten a taste of local government, easily 80% get hooked on it. It's such an exciting career, an exciting profession. A few years ago, I hired a woman as our budget director who had no experience in local government, came out of the private sector. And she worked for us for about 4 or 5 years and then got recruited away by another local government. But she came in to see me. And this was a woman who was in her early 50s. And she said, you know, if I knew that this was what local government was about, I would have never spent my time in private sector finance. She's found it so meaningful and so rewarding to be in professional local government. That's sort of what it's all about. It's a very rewarding profession to be in because you make a difference in people's lives.
That's our show for today. Thanks for listening. After each episode, join the conversation on social media. Look for the hashtag #MakingADifference and use it to share stories about the city, town, and county managers and administrators who make a difference in the quality of life in your community. Be sure to subscribe to our podcast channel to catch up on all seasons of Local Gov Life on iTunes or at icma.org/podcasts. Please share Local Gov Life on social media and tell a friend about us. Thanks for listening to ICMA's Local Gov Life.